The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to Tone and Tenor, a show that explores current issues of the day and listens to bipartisan voices of the people. We want to hear from you with your phone calls and on social media. Now, here are the hosts of Tone and Tenor.
Welcome to the Tone and Tenor Show, Bipartisan Voices of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, ask questions. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is at Tone and Tenor. Our Instagram handle is at Tone and Tenor Radio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us.
In the office for 8 years, bro. Still ain't getting nothing done for it.
Bro, you and me done worked at this barbershop some whole 8 years, bro. They don't care about us, bro.
That's fact, though.
Welcome back to the Tone and Tenor Show. Our topic today is COVID-19 PA Supreme Court candidates for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's highest court. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania is the state Supreme Court and the court of last resort, the immediate appellate courts in Pennsylvania and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, for matters involving cities, and the Superior Court of Pennsylvania for all other appeals. The Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Supreme court consists of seven judges. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court justices are elected to 10-year terms. Supreme Court judicial candidates may run on party tickets. After 10-year terms expires, a statewide yes or no vote for retention is conducted. The judge is retained, he or she serves another 10-year term. If the judge is not retained, the governor's, subject to the approval of the state Senate, appoints a temporary replacement. With that said, we have, I believe we now have all four of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court candidates for the Supreme Office of Supreme Court. One thing, each one of these candidates are running in the primary and ultimately are vying for the one open seat on the court. And whoever wins on the Democratic side, which has no challenges or candidates running, only one person running, they will face whoever wins for the Republican on the Republican side. And in studio, I would like to welcome the Honorable Paula Patrick, candidate for Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Judge Paula Patrick is a presiding judge in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She was elected in November 2003 to the Court of Common Pleas and has served nearly two decades in the largest court system in the state. Judge Patrick has served in the juvenile, family, criminal, and civic divisions of the court. She has adjudicated more than 20,000 cases in her career and has written more than 600 opinions to the three Pennsylvania appealing court. Judge Patrick is currently assigned to the Civil Motions Program and judicial team leader, where she oversees, supervises, and manages a caseload of 2,000-plus matters annually. She has proven expertise in case management and administration with high-volume caseload. Judge Patrick is a native North Carolinian, having graduated magna cum laude with a B.A. in political science from Bennett College for Women in Greensboro, North Carolina. She earned her Juris Doctorate from Texas Southern University Thurgood Marshall School of Law. Welcome to the studio, Judge Patrick, on Zoom.
Thank you.
We have with us the Honorable Kevin Bromson. He is also a candidate, Republican candidate for Supreme Court. Since 2010, Kevin has served as a judge on the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania, a statewide intermediate appellate court one step below the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. The Commonwealth Court is entrusted with important responsibility of ensuring that government at all levels follows the law. He has not shied away from the controversial cases during his tenure. He has ruled in favor of gun rights, school choice, perhaps most notably the Constitution challenge to the congressional districts drawn by the state legislature. He previously worked for Buckham, Ingersoll, and Roney, P.C., and served as secretary and chair of the Judicial Conduct Board. Judge Bronson earned his B.A. in accounting and economics from Lincoln College and earned his Juris Doctorate from Widener University School of Law, Delaware. Widener School of Law. His career experience includes serving as a judge on the Pennsylvania Common Court. Joining us on telephone, Judge Patricia McLaughlin. We did not receive a bio from her, but she is on the line with us. She is also as a Republican on the ticket for Supreme Court. She is a graduate of the University of Pittsburgh School of Law, earning her J.D., she graduated from the University of Strasbourg, France, Summa Legal Program in 1980, and graduated undergrad at the University of Pittsburgh. She was elected to judge of Commonwealth Court in 2009 and has been in private practice since 2008, had private practice 2008 to 2009. Private law practice. She adjudicated faculty. She's an adjunct faculty member of the University of Pittsburgh. And joining us later in the program will be the lone Democrat, will be Maria McLaughlin. and we will introduce her when she comes on. You know, I am so proud that we were able, that this worked out the way it worked out, you know, and hopefully that we will be able to, we will have a conversation where we're not talking script, you know, because we know what people, we want to talk about what you want real everyday people and your constituents that you're vying for their votes, what you want them to hear from you and what you will do, you know, how were you prepared to move to the highest court in the land in Pennsylvania? Mm-hmm. So, Paula, you're in court. First of all, again, I want to welcome everybody. And Judge McCullough, thank you for joining us. Please reach out to me so we can update your information with a bio and a headshot as soon as possible. Have your someone from your staff. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Judge Paula Patrick.
Yes.
Talk to us. Tell us about yourself. Tell us why you feel as though you should, the people of the great state of Commonwealth of Pennsylvania should put you in office.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much for you guys having me. And I am so excited to be on this bipartisan show. But my name is Paula Patrick. I am, as you heard something about my bio, a judge here in Philadelphia. And this is my 18th year in the Court of Common Pleas. I am running for the Pennsylvania Supreme Court because I believe that it is time for a change on that court. There's absolutely no one on the court that looks like me. I am an African-American woman, conservative right here in Philadelphia. And I will say this, that we need someone on that bench that's able to have the courage to stand up to do the right thing, to follow the rule of law, to obey and defend our constitutions, and to make sure that our rights and our freedoms are upheld. I see that that has not been totally the case in the past few years. I believe the court is leaning left quite a bit. But I believe that as a judge, whether you're Democrat or Republican, black or white, rich or poor, everybody expects that when they come to court, they want a judge just to follow the law, to do what's right based upon the law. And so I've been doing that for now 18 years here in Philadelphia, and I want the chance to do that on the Supreme Court, and it is time for a change. I'm definitely the person that would make that change. I'm the only person on the Common Pleas bench that's running for the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and I also would add I'm the only one that's running that has been a judge the longest, 18 years right now. So thank you.
Thank you. Judge Bronson, how are you today? Yes, tell us about yourself, why you're running, why you feel as though you should be the folks down here in Philadelphia and around the surrounding counties should put you in that seat or put you. No, I'm sorry. Have you
so much from the primary to speak with you today and speak with your listeners. I greatly appreciate it. My name is Kevin Brobson, and I currently serve as the president judge of the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania. We have two intermediate appellate courts in Pennsylvania, right below the Supreme Court, the Superior Court, and the Commonwealth Court. The Commonwealth Court is the court that hears appeals from our courts of common pleas and our state administrative agencies that deal with whether government is following the law. And that is really what I did in 14 years of private practice, representing individuals and businesses in disagreements with or wanting to do business with the government, trying to get through the red tape, trying to get pragmatic solutions and lawful solutions for my clients. And then on the court for past 11 years, that's what I've been doing. We've made sure that government follows the law and our constitutional rights are protected. The reason why I got into this race is because over the last several years, I've seen as a Commonwealth Court judge instances where people have lost faith in a fair and impartial judiciary, but more recently in the judiciary serving as a check and balance on state government action. And that's really why I got into the race. I think a lot of people understand what happened, not with just, you know, with anybody who's concerned about things that happened in last year's election, but really the COVID pandemic and how many people had lost their jobs, had lost businesses, have had to educate their children at home because their children can't go to school. And it really has hit home for me in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure for the people of Philadelphia and the surrounding counties, how much government has affected their lives over the last 2 years and how the courts really need to be there for them. So that's why I got into this race. There hasn't been a Commonwealth Court judge on the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania for over 15 years. It's a court that is predominantly made up of Superior Court judges, Common Pleas Court judges, and they have fine experience. And those judges particularly deal with whether individuals individuals follow the law. But I think we have seen how government can impact our lives, and that's why I got in the race.
Okay.
Personally, I was born in North Central Pennsylvania, born and raised in education.
We'll get to the personal piece. I just want to get the get everyone, you know, why they're in a race, and then we'll get to the personal pieces as well as, you know, not to cut you off. I'm not trying to be rude. So I want to go to.
It's okay. It's your show. You get to cut me off.
Yeah, Judge. Welcome to the Tone and Tenor Show. I apologize we don't have your picture up, but if you know we did not get a response. So tell us about yourself.
Come on, I'm so sorry they did send it, but we'll make sure you get it again later. And I'm a judge on the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania. I'm going into my 12th year. I also served as a trial court judge where I was in family division. And really, the Lord put on my heart that we need a system that is restorative and really works for justice. I'm the judge that will uphold the Constitution. I believe in the Constitution of the United States of America, and I believe in the Constitution of Pennsylvania. And my years of service as a judge, not only have I written over hundreds of opinions and hearings as in our original jurisdiction and as a trial court judge, trying to serve the families and the at-risk youth that come into that court, in the trial court where I served in Allegheny County, but trying to make a difference in their lives. Because when our system was set up, it wasn't meant to just build a bunch of more jails and then throw away the key and give up on people. It was meant, as William Penn established it in your very city, he meant it to be a place for restorative and equal justice.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many programs that I've worked with that are very effective. Some of them I've worked with in Philadelphia itself to help people restore their lives. The victims and the people who have been the perpetrators, but the family members and the children, because we want to be a society that really looks like what Penn envisioned, that seed of a nation, the holy experiment. So I'm running because I believe that we need a judge on the Supreme Court who's going to fight and defend for justice for the people, who's going to fight for transparency on the Supreme Court, and who's going to fight to restore the individual liberties and freedoms that have been taken from us. And I believe that the Supreme Court needs a judge who's going to stand for the Constitution and justice and liberty.
You know, everyone, each one of you have mentioned the Constitution. A lot of our listeners and a lot of folks throughout the city and around the state view judges as almost legislators now, that judges basically are moving away from the role of the Constitution and enacting the laws to they're almost trying to be legislators and judges at the same time. What's going to make you different, and how will our listeners and how will people across the state of Pennsylvania be able to define that you're not in following behind legislatures and or and one of my pet peeves, and I've shared this with everyone, is that when folks start getting endorsed by elected officials and PACs, and well, PACs you can't do, but other folks, that you now, it's somewhere down the line, you may be beholden to those individuals. How will you separate yourself and still govern the law, the letter of the law, and not be influenced by legislators? I'm going to start with Judge McCullough, and then to Judge Bronson, and then.
Let me interject real quick. Before we get to that, and thank all of you guys again for showing up. So here's how courts are, and this is according to research from JIPA. You know, I'm a big fan, huge fan, because they really are. So basically, what they're doing is they're fighting the gerrymandering that was put in place by our state legislation. So in 2019 to 2020 legislative session, the General Assembly passed a constitutional amendment that would empower our state legislature to create judicial districts for Pennsylvania's higher courts. Candidates for the Supreme Court and other appeals courts would be elected by voters in their district, but the challenge is the gerrymandering part. So the House Judiciary Committee voted 13 to 12 in favor of the proposed constitutional amendment, which would affect races for the state, Commonwealth, Superior, and Supreme Courts. If passed, well, I mean, it did pass in February 18th before this primary. So this is kind of what we're dealing with. And then the other portion to this, folks, is how courts are to how they should be, right? They're impartial. Right? Well, no, sorry, they're partial. They're biased and they're gerrymandered. And to Randall's point, in some situations, they're rigged. We're not going to say where. We're not going to point any fingers. But we just want to bring this to light. So while you guys are answering us, you know, you can have this. But how they should be, right, is impartial, fairly selected, and there should be accountability, right? And nobody should be in anybody's pocket. That's in a perfect world. So you guys are going to have to deal with that. You know, whichever one of you guys win, you're going to have to deal with that. So I guess we can go from there.
I guess Judge McCullough, I think Pat added a little more to the plate. I hope you got enough of that.
Yeah, I got it. And thank you. And I couldn't agree with you more. That's our oath. We're supposed to be fair and impartial. We're supposed to uphold the rule of law and the Constitution of Pennsylvania mm-hmm. and the United States of America. Now, as to changes in the law that you just brought up, really, I can't comment on those because that question will be coming into our court, the appellate court that mm-hmm. I sit on now, because I sit on a court that I like to call court. Mm-hmm. We uphold the rights of the people as impacted by governmental action. But you can think about some of the things, the effects, excuse me, that legislation will have, that at least challenges people are making is whether then do you only represent, you know, as a statewide judge, do you only represent the district that elected you? Mm-hmm. And so there are different questions, and I'm not going to comment on it, so I don't have to recuse myself from the case. But I've done both. I've been appointed as a judge, and I've been elected as a judge. And I have to tell you, you can't remove politics from either one. Nope. They're in both of those systems, and there's going to be politics involved in any other change. But as judges, as candidates, there are things that we can do to show our devotion to the people, our devotion to serving the people as a public servant and being impartial. And so what I did, when I ran in 2009, I pledged to and did not take money donations from attorneys or PACs. I repeat that. I did not take money donations from attorneys or PACs. I didn't do it in 2019 when I ran, and I'm not doing it now. And by the grace of God and the people, I spent only $30,000 in 2009 when I ran for a statewide race. Now, yes, it takes money, but I can also say that the people never have to question when they come before me whether I've taken money from a PAC that they might consider would be a compromise to me in my impartiality. Now, they could challenge it, obviously, but they never have to question that. And no lawyer has to come before me and wonder, did the attorney on the other side give this judge money, or did they give them more money than I did? Because I believe that if we're going to talk about being impartial and fixing our system, we have to do something about it, even if it's difficult for us to do. Mm-hmm. That's why I did that, because I believe that has made me the impartial judge mm-hmm. to serve the people. So thank you.
Judge Brasa?
Yes, thank you. If we're going to talk about believing in the Constitution of Pennsylvania, we got to talk about the fact that the Constitution of Pennsylvania currently provides for electing our judges. And that's the process that's been in place for a long time. It's the process that the framers of the Constitution intended. And it's not a process that we as judges who aspire to serve on a higher court can throw aside. And to get your message out and to educate voters fully about your record, You know, that takes resources. And if you're going to have the resources to get the message out to educate the voters so they're not just voting by something, you know, that they see on the ballot that day, you know, we have a service, we have a responsibility as candidates to educate the voters about who we are and what our qualifications are, you know, not just what we, you know, what we see on the ballot box the day you go in. So I think that's really important for us to have the resources to do that. The rules are in effect that prevent us as judges from soliciting money directly and individually, and we set up candidate mm-hmm. committees to do that. And I have a candidate committee to do that, and I had a candidate committee in 2009 to do that. But until the system changes, this is the system we have. Mm-hmm. Now, how can the people of Pennsylvania have confidence that when a campaign, my campaign, raises money for me, that they know that I won't be in the pockets of anybody, but I'll be serving the people of Pennsylvania? They can look at my 11-year record on the Commonwealth Court. I value my record. I value my reputation. My reputation is my kids' reputation. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court itself, Democrats and Republicans, appointed me to serve as the sole appellate judge member on the Judicial Conduct Board of Pennsylvania, the watchdog for judicial ethics in Pennsylvania. And while on that board, the members of that board from all over the state, lawyers, lay people, judges, Democrats and Republicans, elected secretary and then as board chair to lead that organization. And in addition, I was recently elected by my colleagues on the court, on the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania, which Judge McCullough and I sit, to be the president judge of that court, to be the 10th president judge, again, by Democrats and Republicans. I don't think I would have this record and this reputation if I didn't show the fairness and impartiality that all Pennsylvanians deserve to have on the court. I've only ever promised people one thing. I've promised them that I will be fair and impartial and that they're not always going to agree with me. But I'll at least write an opinion that they can understand why I ruled the way that I ruled, and they can be held accountable for that. But I value my reputation. I value my commitment to judicial ethics. In terms of the amendment that is being considered by the General Assembly, I'm going to agree with Judge McCullough on that. Our court has handled plenty of constitutional amendment challenges. They come to us. For me to comment on that would be a violation of the rules of judicial conduct.
Yeah, so no problem. No, we definitely understand that. I was just putting it out there. I don't expect anybody to, have to plead the fifth. I'm probably talking out of turn because I'm not an attorney. I've just done research, but,
my turn to respond.
What you got?
What I got? Yeah. My turn to respond. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to just answer Randall's question directly, and that is mm-hmm. he asked about, you know, he see a lot of activist judges and the legislation that heavily comes from the bench, and that's very true. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, how will I not legislate and not be an activist judge? Mm-hmm. I would say look at my record of 18 years of being a judge here in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I refuse to legislate from the bench. I refuse to be an activist judge, and I'll give you a story, an example of the difference between activism, what a lawyer does and really what a judge should do. Mm. So I was a trial lawyer for about 10 years before I became a judge. And my very first day when I was sworn in and I took the bench, they said, all rise, you know, and here I come out there and the lawyers are arguing back and forth before the court. Mm. And I found myself saying, objection, you know, objection. And so the lawyers finally looked at each other and they said, listen, judge, you're the judge. You can't object. And so, yes, that's right. I'm the judge. Mm. And one of the things, I'll tell you that story, because what I realized is that as an attorney, I was an advocate. Mm. And I was advocating, you know, from the bench doing that. Mm. And then I realized something, that as the judge, right, then my job is to listen to all the facts, the evidence, and apply the law and render justice. Mm. And so when we talk about legislation from the bench, that's the problem that we have seen that has taken place so much in our society that people then get confused. Well, what really is the court supposed to do? What's the role of the legislator? You know, all these things are problematic. And I think the biggest thing is that as a judge, whether you're Democrat, Republican, black, white, as I said before, your job is to follow the law. Mm-hmm. Your job is not to legislate. Your job is not to advocate. We are not a social work court. You understand? Mm-hmm. We're not social workers. We are judges. And so that's the difference. The other thing I think is important is that when voters look to vote for judges, which they do, of course, in this state, that they should get as much information as they can about the judge and should be informed. The other thing, let's be honest, I mean, judicial races are not what we call sexy. In other words, people are not really interested in judicial races, but a judge has a greater control and impact in your life more than the mayor, more than the governor, more than even the president. Most of us have a chance to appear in front of a court, whether it's through a loved one in criminal court or maybe a family law issue, custody, divorce, support, or even maybe someone sued you in court because it was a car accident or maybe a mortgage foreclosure. And the thing about it is, not knowing about a judge until you get in front of a judge is not really the best thing. So I would simply say that, you know, we are as I believe as judges, we have a responsibility under the law and under our Constitution to not advocate, to not legislate, and look at our records to see what we have done in that regard.
Yeah, that's good. And these are the messages that you don't really get. Because like Judge Patrick said, this is, and Pat said it, this is not sexy. You know, most people call this an off election. Mm-hmm. No election is an off year election. Elections are important because each one of you, whoever wins this election, will first primary, will then go Republican, will go Democrat, and whoever wins, that's a 10-year term. Mm-hmm. That's 10 years that someone, you could be on the bench and you would be making the decision after it went through all the other courts. You know, this is not, and I think a lot of folks don't really understand the difference between the court system and what, because if I'm going to say, oh, I met Judge Patrick, or I met Judge McCullough, or Judge Bronson, the first thing that pops up in the most average citizens, two things that you're responsible for: sending me to jail, or I'm suing somebody, I'm going to get some money. So,
and that's pretty much common. Please, Commonwealth
right,
does not do
and,
that.
Right, but this is what you know, folks, and having their right. And you know, how do we? Each one of you are running. How do? And I'm not calling you, but how do we begin to change that cycle and begin to teach or inform? Is there a way that you from the bench today and going forward that can help a constituent understand the difference in the system? Because I'll be frank, the election commissions ain't doing it. The ward leaders aren't doing it. The commissioners aren't doing it. The parties aren't doing it.
Right.
And most of the radio stations and TV stations aren't doing it. How can you, as a judge, if it's in your power, start to help teach what each one of the branches of the courts do? I'll start with you, Judge Bronson. Are you with us?
Sure, thank you. So I think we do it every day in the sense that as judges, we're supposed to be out there. I never adopted the philosophy that once we get elected judges, we have to retreat from our communities. So I think we have to get out there and talk to people about the judicial system. You know, it's funny, when I ran for Commonwealth Court in 2009, everywhere I went, I had to try to explain to folks how I was not running against their local Common Pleas Court candidate. The Commonwealth Court is sort of the youngest court of the three statewide appellate courts, you know, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court being the oldest court in the country. So having to explain to people what the Commonwealth Court is, you know, it takes a little bit of time, but when they hear the cases that we're deciding, then they really understand the impact of that court. And you know, look, we hear cases about how we educate our children, how we care for our elderly, how we protect our preserve our historical natural resources, how we elect our public officials, injured workers, the unemployed, small businesses, taxation. I mean, our decisions that we issue every day on the Commonwealth Court affect every Pennsylvanian. And our decisions make the headlines because they do have that impact. You know, we are the court that makes sure that government follows the law. So, of course, we as judges have an obligation to educate the voters about the courts that we are on, as well as the courts that we're running for. And right now, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court is made up of exclusively Superior Court judges. and a couple of common pleas court judges. And if we look back at the last 5 years of opinions that have been issued by the Supreme Court that have had people, you know, scratching their heads a little bit about whether they're legislating from the bench or what have you. You know, it's funny, I do these forms from time to time. I've never heard a judge say that they're a judicial activist. They all say that they're strict constructionists and won't legislate from the bench. But that's why you have to look at our records. But the cases that the Supreme Court has issued over the last 5 to 7 years have been cases that have come out of Commonwealth Court or relate to our court's jurisdiction. So I think it's important as part of my process to educate the voters why having a new voice and a new perspective on that Supreme Court is so important.
Okay.
And I would say, if I can add, that it is important to have a new voice and a new perspective. As I said before, no one on that court looks like me. In fact, there has never been an African-American female elected to our state Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time. I think it's time that all segments of our society be represented on that court. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania has all groups of people. And so it's important that that people can look at that court and see that. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think is important as we are talking about judges and the role of judges is that, you know, Common Pleas Court, it's really the court, I would say more the people's court, because that's where most people go to start the action. And so if you're dissatisfied with the action, then, of course, you can appeal to two different courts depending on your matter. Mm-hmm. The Commonwealth Court is really a limited jurisdiction court. In other words, you know, you can't take if you've been arrested or incarcerated, you know, and you feel like the judge was wrong in convicting you. That case does not go there. Mm-hmm. You know, if you feel the judge was wrong in giving your child to the other party, you can't go to Commonwealth Court. If you feel that that the judge should not have ruled or the jury was wrong in ruling in your civil jury trial as relates to medical malpractice, things like that, that does not go to the Commonwealth Court. And so it is something to be said that the Supreme Court is largely made up of Superior Court judges and Common Pleas Court judges, because the Supreme Court is our highest court in this land, and it has the authority to listen to all types of cases. So you would want a judge on there that has the experience in every type of matter that would go before that court.
Yep.
And I would say this, because of my background and experience, I could hit the ground running from day one on that Supreme Court.
Okay.
Yep.
And lastly, Judge?
Judge McCullough, this is Judge McCullough. Yeah, to answer your question, well, first of all, I mean, it's very important that we educate the public, and I love to do that. I do that all the time. I speak to community groups and schools and legal groups explaining the roles of the courts and what the judges are doing. What are the different courts, the levels of the court, that our court's issues go directly into the Supreme Court? I think it's important for the people to know, too, that the Commonwealth Court is the court that impacts all of the state laws, not only their local ordinances, their property, you know, their local taxes, but the state laws, like their taxes, zoning, and elections.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important in these election cases for people to see what really has gone on. And I found that I had written two opinions which weren't even discussed in the media. Now, if that doesn't happen, how do people know what the judges are ruling?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, more than doing a TV commercial for a campaign, which is a minute, 2 minutes, you don't get information about the true record of a judge in that. But we get out to the people. So even when I stood for retention in 2019, people said, oh, you don't have to go talk to the people. You know, they someone might say something about one of your cases. And I said, no, I work for the people. I'm there. They have a right to have me be accountable to them. So I still went around as much as I could in the state for retention, talking to the people about the court, talking to the people about my record. So, and that's one of the reasons why I like running for an election, because you go to the people. You have to go and meet your constituents. You have to get an understanding of who everybody is in all 67 counties in this Commonwealth and how they live and what their issues are. So when they come into the court before me that I'm on, a Commonwealth Court, I understand. I've seen the fracking, or I've seen the neighborhoods, or I've seen the pig farms, or the huge industrial sites, or whatever it is. I still have to be fair and impartial and abide by my oath. But I'm not just, you know, I have a global perspective of the entire Commonwealth and the people that we serve.
Gotcha. So with that said, we're going to quickly go to break. But
and when we come back from the other side of the break, we're going to bring in the Honorable Maria McCullen. She is also a candidate for the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
So when Meek Mill got locked up just for popping willies, we blame the judge and not the city when they let her get voted in, because they ain't know who to vote against. Imagine life on the other side. Roads better, schools better, everybody get their license back, grocery store food better, custody of your kids back, homeless people get new shelters. If we gonna fix the U.S., we gotta start with them two letters, me and you. Somebody told us that the government wanna keep us broke, but the only reason why those people in the government is cause we ain't vote. And I ain't talking about the president, I'm talking about the ones we ain't know. See, they was gonna try to keep it low, but it's gonna hurt them when they see the polls.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
And our topic today is COVID-19, PA Supreme Court candidates, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's highest court. I need to make a correction and apologize to Judge Maria. While going to break, I said Maria McCullen. It's Maria McLaughlin. She is running for as candidate, the Democratic candidate for Pennsylvania Supreme Court. I truly apologize for that.
Yeah, and also the elevator music in the But real quick, I always like throwing a couple quick facts. So the annual salary of a Justice of the Supreme Court.
$203,000.
No, $215,000. They got a raise. Oh. I'm in the wrong business. and then also, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm like the terrible, worst comic relief person ever. So the top three courts, right? The top that they were talking about throughout this conversation was the 15 judges in the Superior Court, the 9 judges in the Commonwealth Court, and the 7 at the top of the pyramid, dating back to 1684, right? 1684, folks. So you know what was going on in 1684. So that's probably a good reason why there's not a lot of black people there. I can say that. Y'all can't say that. I can say that. And they see, collaboratively, they see over 3,000 requests for appellate review. So this is a serious job. You know, and I said it once and I'll say it again. The two most dangerous jobs in the state or any state or Commonwealth is a cop and a judge, right? Because one can put you in a box and one can keep you in a box. Let's move on.
Judge Maria McLaughlin, she previously worked as an assistant district attorney in Philadelphia and later as chief of the Child Support Enforcement Unit. She was one of the youngest female chiefs ever appointed in Philadelphia. Her life was dedicated to protecting the rights of children as a single mother and judge on the Court of Common Pleas, Family Division. Of the utmost importance to her was continuing to safeguard the rights of children. Throughout her legal career, Judge McLaughlin has dedicated numerous hours off the bench to various organizations, including anti-violence, anti-drug, reentry programs, and youth organizations. She spent time working with women in prisons. Judge McLaughlin received her BS degree from Penn State University and earned her Juris Doctorate from Delaware Law School, Widener University. Judge McLaughlin, thank you for joining us. In the studio with us is the Honorable Paula Patrick. On Zoom is the Honorable Kevin Bromson. And on phone is the Honorable Patricia McCullough. We would like to hear from you. Tell us about yourself, why you're running for this position, and why our constituents throughout the state of Pennsylvania, what they need to know about you and why you're doing this and what has prompted you and made you move towards. And, you know, basically you're running unopposed, so you're going to eventually be up against one of the three folks that are running against each other that are also with us today.
I am, and thank you for having me.
So I am Judge Maria McLaughlin, and I am currently a judge on our Pennsylvania Superior Court. I started off in the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, and I resigned from that job to run for judge. I always say that was one of the scariest things I ever had to do, not prosecute somebody, but was to resign to run for judge with 70 vacation days in the bank. And it's exactly what I did because I just wanted to put it out there and set a good example for my two boys. And then my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and I stepped back and said, I'm not going to do it. And unbeknownst to me, my mom stood outside Rittenhouse Park, which is all well known to all of our listeners, and all weekend long got me every single signature I needed to be on the ballot for Court of Common Pleas. And so the rest was history. I call that grassroots politics at its finest. And that's how I became a judge on our Court of Common Pleas. And I sat there and I did family law and criminal law. I did many other issues. I did election law and I did labor law issues. And from there, I went on to our Superior Court, which is where I am now. And I am running for this seat to show all the little girls and young women everywhere who come from beginnings like mine, first in the family to go to college, born from a family of immigrants, that they can do this. This is nowhere that I ever thought I would ever be, running for our state's highest court, sitting as a statewide elected official. But here I am. So I'm doing it to set a great example, but also the progression of my career has led me to this path. So thank you again for having me. I'm very grateful.
Judge McLaughlin, I just want to ask one question we've asked of all of the candidates. And, you know, it seems like that a lot of judges legislate from the bench. Mm-hmm. What will make you different? Will you, you know, because a lot of, you know, a lot of judges are getting a lot of endorsements. They're getting a lot of this, that, and the other from political powers of be. How will you separate the law and the politics and be the best for the constituents that you will serve in the 67 counties throughout the state of Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm. And so in the interest of time, this is kind of like the lightning round. So I guess we'll give you 90 seconds. And going forward, whatever questions Randall asks, everybody has about 60 seconds to answer the question.
Okay. So regarding legislating from the bench, it's funny that you said that because I think I just put that in one of my opinions not so long ago, that the judge was doing exactly that, and that's not the role of the judiciary. So I would do just what I have always done, which is not legislate from the bench. I have a proven record that I have not done that. As a Court of Common Pleas judge sitting in the largest judicial district in our Commonwealth for 6 years, not only did I never miss a day of work, I never had a decision overturned in 6 years. So I think that clearly proves that I don't legislate from the bench. So that's how I would do it based on my record.
Very good, very good. When we look at the Supreme Court, I mean, a lot of folks in the state of Pennsylvania and around the country look at the Supreme Courts and they start comparing them to that of the Supreme Court of the land, the U.S. Supreme Court. People don't understand the difference. Can either one of you just can pick up and run with it, because and tell folks what the difference really is and how what happens if something how something gets to the Supreme Court.
Well, the difference I say real quickly is that the Common Pleas Court, as I said, is the court where people have the initial contact mm-hmm. with the system, whether it's custody, divorce, support, a loved one incarcerated, if there's a lawsuit, car wreck, we call it, or medical malpractice, you know, nursing home neglect. All these cases start in the Common Pleas Court level. That is the very first contact in the system. Depending on how your case is decided, you have the right to appeal. And when you appeal those matters, mostly they go before the Superior Court. The appellate courts are what we call error-correcting courts. They simply correct errors of what they look at below. In other words, what happened on the common pleas level or so. And that's, as I said, that the Commonwealth Court is a court of limited jurisdiction established in 1970, and it is a court that pretty much deals with government, government regulations, and statewide elections. And so most people that have cases are going to matriculate through common pleas and probably probably go to the superior. And then the last court that we have is our state Supreme Court. They hear all types of matters, matters that come from both the Commonwealth Court as well as the Superior Court, and, of course, all matters that come from the Court of Common Pleas. Mm-hmm. So they grant what is called aliquot, or in other words, they will look at the issue to see if it's something worthy of taking up to decide for the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'll just add to that it's in the courts. The Commonwealth Court has unique jurisdiction. We also sit as trial court judges, and so we hear all of those cases that involve the people, their taxes, their elections, their property issues, fracking, right-to-know law, all of those important issues that go to the front doorstep of every resident of Pennsylvania come into that court where we sit as individual trial judges as well as appellate court judges. And these are the cases that turn where Pennsylvania is going to go. And I know you have a 60-second question you want to ask us, so I won't get into that next point. I'll let you ask your question.
Oh, no, you got a question today. This is what you do. This is above my pay grade.
Who had the 60-second?
Can I just respond?
Yes,
to
you
that
may. Really, yes.
So the answer to your question about what really differentiates the Pennsylvania Supreme Court from the United States Supreme Court mm-hmm. is the Pennsylvania Supreme Court is the last court of availability with regard to what the Pennsylvania Constitution says. That is really the big difference is the Pennsylvania Supreme Court can even look and decide issues of federal law in certain circumstances. But in terms of the last voice on the Supreme on Pennsylvania constitutional law, that is the Supreme Court. And also the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania sets the tone for the rest of the judiciary in terms of judicial ethics, mm-hmm. In terms of establishing rules of procedure, in terms of administration of justice, the specialty courts, the veterans courts, the drug courts, those initiatives, those all emanate from the Supreme Court. And I think that is really an emphasis of administration that the Supreme Court justices have that the other appellate court judges do not have. And I guess my final point about the Commonwealth Court, since we keep kind of bringing up whether the Commonwealth Court is a court of limited jurisdiction or not, you know, we don't in the Commonwealth Court, we don't hear criminal case appeals. That's true. We hear some personal injury appeals, depending on the nature of the personal injury and jury trial appeals. That's sure. But, you know, what everybody should relate to is not everybody gets into the criminal justice system, and not everybody has a family law dispute. But God willing, everybody has a job or wants to get a job or wants to start a business or wants to own property or wants to educate their children or have a good education for their children, wants to develop their land the way they want to develop it. That's the cases the Commonwealth Court deals with. And our cases,
Thank you, Judge.
A single case in Chester County or even in Fayette County, can impact people in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
And that's what's so great about our jurisdiction.
Thank you. Pat?
Okay, well, we're up against the wire, so.
We are up against the wire. You know, I believe we had a learning session. We've got to learn a little more about each one of you.
Absolutely.
From outside of the normal speeches that you do and from your
or banging the gavel, you know.
But what we're going to do, we're going to start with Judge Patrick, and we'll end with Judge McLaughlin. We'll give each one of you about 45 seconds to tell us your closing statement. This is a hard 45 seconds now, and how people can get in touch with you and support you.
I am timing you.
Okay, well, I'm Judge Paula Patrick. You can find out more about me at VotePaulaPatrick.com. Again, VotePaulaPatrick.com. You can also follow me and like me on Facebook at Judge Paula Patrick. I think it's definitely time for a change. We need someone different on that court, someone that can make a difference, someone who has the proven experience to do that. And here's the other thing. It's time for our court to really reflect the people. I will be the first African-American female elected to that court. It's time for a change. I want Pennsylvania to come out to vote for Judge Paula Patrick. Let's be a part of making history, because Pennsylvania made history last year in doing what they did with the Supreme Court. Let's make history this year by electing the right person to that court. I believe it's me, Paula Patrick. Thank you.
Judge McCullough.
Oh, thank you. I'm, again, Patricia McCullough. I've been a judge on the Commonwealth Court and trial court judge. I've worked in programs for restorative justice, teaching in jails to reach the people who are really in need and vulnerable, the at-risk youth, veterans, disabled. I think we need a judge who understands the heart of the people, who's willing to stand for the Constitution. My cases do that in the election cases. I stood to uphold the Constitution in the election cases. Pennsylvania is the oldest state Supreme Court in the nation. It's the keystone state and the birthplace of liberty. I think our state deserves a Supreme Court judge who will defend and advance the liberty and justice. And that's people, what I'll do.
Where do you people find more about? Go ahead.
PatriciaForJustice.com.
Thank you
and
very
thank
much.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Judge Maria McLaughlin.
Hi. So I am Judge Maria McLaughlin, and you can check out my website at JudgeMcLaughlin.com. And I hope when you check out that website, you'll look at my announcement video. It gives you a caption of who I am, where I come from. And I think you need to look at the breadth of experience of each of us and look at where we came and our experience. We need experience in every area of the law. I have that experience, and I hope you all vote for me. Judge Maria McLaughlin for Supreme Court from Philadelphia. Thank you so much.
And Judge Brobson, you're the lone male. Are you still with us?
Yeah, he's here.
I am. I'm sorry. I probably voted in my 45 seconds. I am President Judge Kevin Brobson of the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania. Brobson4PA.com. Would really appreciate everybody's support in this election. I do believe we need a change on the Supreme Court. And it's a change of making sure that we have a justice on the Supreme Court that cares just as much about government following the law as the government expects its citizens to follow the law. I have been an appellate court judge and, in fact, a trial court judge because of our jurisdictions for the past 11 years, and I have a reputation of fairness and impartiality, but holding government accountable. That's what Pennsylvanians have desired on the Supreme Court, I believe. That's why I'm running, and I'd be grateful to have your support. Oh, and by the way, my family is originally from Philadelphia. My father grew up in North Philadelphia, so had to get that plug in. I grew up eating Philadelphia soft pretzels on the boulevard, so I'm looking forward to campaigning in Philadelphia going forward.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
I hope he wasn't standing on the boulevard. That's the third most dangerous highway in the country. I'm just messing with you. Terrible joke.
What's interesting, neither one of you said the primary date is May 18th. 2021, and whoever wins on the Republican side will ultimately face Maria McLaughlin, who does not have any challenger. And so it will be an interesting race. We want to thank each and every one of you. We want to thank the Honorable Kevin Brobson, candidate for PA Supreme Court, the Honorable Maria McLaughlin, the Honorable Paula Patrick, and the Honorable Patricia McCullen for joining us today.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, follow us on our social media. On Twitter, we're at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we're at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/Tone and Tenor to find our page. Please look out for us as we are in your community. We have an event coming up the 22nd in Norristown.
Yeah.
Okay. And Norristown is going down. Our studio engineer today was Mike Vito, and our resident photographer
Brett back to work. Brett Cronenberger.
Brett came back.
I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voice of the People Talk Radio Show here on WWDB Talk 860 out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yep, check us out next week.
Check it, one for Charlie Hustle, two for Steady Rock, three for the fourth, coming live, future shot. It's five dimensions, six senses, seven from a mental health.